This coming Shabbos is going to have the honor and the privilege of reading Parshas Kedoshim, which begins, of course, with the instruction Kedoshim to you. And Ramban notes that we have to be careful not to be a novel Birshus HaTorah, a degenerate within the parameters of which that which is permitted by the Torah, since according to Torah law, one may marry many wives. One could arrange that he could always have one of his wives available to him. A person could be careful to make sure that all the food he eats is kosher, but he can eat in a gluttonous fashion. So such a person without refined eating habits and an elegant style in his personal relations is one who is a novel. Rav Schachter noted that many have the mistaken impression that a life of asceticism, consisting of frequent fasting, abject poverty, and withdrawal from social interaction, is considered to be a life of Kedusha. That's not in line with the Jewish definition of Kedusha. The Gemara says, V'ahavta es Hashem Elokecha includes the requirement that sheyehe shem shamayim misayiv al yadecha, that the name of heaven should become beloved to you, through you. In other words, one should act in a way that those who observe and should fall in love with Hashem. And people who see this and sees the way the Jew acts become so enamored with Yadus that they feel compelled to join the Jewish nation. Clearly in our world, one who lives an ascetic life will not be likely able to influence other people. We're also told, "Tzedek tishpod amisecha." We're told to judge people favorably. We're told, "V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha," you should love your neighbor as yourself. Now, both commandments, one to Beis Din and the other to every Jew, require us to change our outlook on our fellow Jews. So how are we supposed to change that, honestly? So, Rav Mordechai Greenberg, the Nasi of Karen Biyama, former Rosh HaYeshiva, quoted Rav Kook, who explained that two people can look at the same situation in two distinct ways. One can see it positively because he seeks out the opportunity to be Makir Tov, to see the good in situations. The other wants to see things negatively, and so he finds a reason to challenge the Tov. And so thus, one who wants to achieve Bitzedek Tishbot, or V'ahavta L'reicha Kamocha, needs to work on himself first in order to see it. That's what we have to look at, when we get a chance to look at that, then we'll see things in a positive life. While we're talking about V'ahavta L'reicha Kamocha, and quoting Rosh Yeshiva of Karen Biyavne, how does Hashem place the responsibility of the way we treat someone else based on ourselves? How does HaKadosh Baruch Hu bother to do that? So Rav Govel Satzal, the Rosh Yeshiva of Karen Biyavne, used to quote Rav Isaac Sher, who would often explain that it's a misconception that kavod is a bad midah. The only problem is that people who seek and demand kavod don't really know what kavod is. Respect that one has internally for who he is and what he stands for and what his personal purpose and contribution to his existence is about, that's the ultimate positive expression of self-respect and kavod. And the job of the ahavta is a recognition that everything else in this world too has the same status. It too is created with a designated benefit and purpose that doesn't rain on your designated purpose. His financial wealth is designated with the same purpose as yours. And you should protect both of you as you would your own, for it serves the greater purpose of Kavod Shamayim. If you have that understanding, it makes a difference. V'ahavta l'reicha kamocha. We're told later in the parasha, a lot of gufei Torah in the parasha, a lot of mitzvos. So we're told, "Ubegi kalayim shatnes lo yale alecha." The clothing of kalayim are considered shatnes; they shouldn't be upon you. And so, Rav Shimshon David Pinkus noted that Jewish clothing is distinct in three ways. First of all, it's tzanua; it's designed not to be arousing. And second of all, it doesn't contain anything forbidden by the Torah like shatnes. And third, it's a means to mitzvah performance in that, where appropriate, it provides an avenue for us to do mitzvos like wearing tzitzis. So Pinkus added that in the same manner that clothes protect us from the strong elements of nature, kosher clothing protect us from outside non-kosher elements as well. After all, would one enter a non-kosher restaurant with a kippah or with long flowing peos? The clothing helps us guard ourselves against being and having an unholy mix. We're told, "Lo sochlu al adam," that you shouldn't eat al adam. And the myriad of dinim learned in this pasuk, this one that seems quite out of place. The Gemara in Brachos on Daf Yud Amud Beis learns Lo Sochalu Al Adam, that you shouldn't eat before you daven. And yet, there's no mention of tefillah in this context at all. So from where does the Gemara come to interpret this idea? And so Rav Shmuel Brazil explained that if you take the gematria of the word dam and you spell it out fully, Dalid Mem equals Dalid, and Mem equals 514, which is one less than the gematria of the word tefillah. So we're told not to eat until we are al adam, until we raise the status of dam to something greater, which we do by bringing ourselves into the process that we call tefillah. We're told that mipnei seiva takum, that we should stand in the presence of an older person, v'adarta p'nei zaken, and show honor in the presence of an elderly person. Now, the verb on the second phrase is v'adarta, which means to honor, which is giving something to the older person. And Rabbi Joseph Adler remarked that the v'adarta also means to return, to get something back to the older person. Rabbi Dr. Abraham J. Twersky added that old people are the repositories of wisdom. And that's why the Medrash tells us that Moshe sought out Sarach Bas Asher's advice to help him find the missing bones of Yosef. It's because Sarach had knowledge which could not be equated even by direct contact with Hashem. Sarach knew Yosef, and she knew Yaakov Avinu. So contact with the great tzaddikim, that's irreplaceable. And that's what the elderly can offer us. We have to show our children that we revere not only the elderly, but we also appreciate their wisdom. There's something to be said for that. Finally, towards the end of the parasha, we're told, "Va'avdil eschem min ha'amim liosli." I want you, v'skadishtem v'yisem kedoshim, v'avdil eschem min ha'amim. I separated you. And Rashi explains that if you're separated, then you're for me. But otherwise, you're like Nebuchadnezzar and his friends. Why are you like Nebuchadnezzar? What does that have to do? So, the Gemara in Sanhedrin notes that emotionally, Nebuchadnezzar had the power to captivate spirits just like David HaMelech. So strong were his compositions that HaMelech needed to come and slap him in the face. Rav Yashiv notes that even with the great expressive emotional talent, Nebuchadnezzar had no ability to capitalize on it. And that's the difference between a healthy Jew and Nebuchadnezzar. If you capitalize on Jewish spirit, turning it into practical, achievable actions, great. But if not, you're no better than Nebuchadnezzar is. It's our talents as that we have. It's not about us. If you're a talented fundraiser, if you're a talented person, use your stuff, l'shem shamayim. And if not, you're no better than Nebuchadnezzar. Avdil eschem min ha'amim liosli. Yechiel Yitzchak Pershlit used to say, this is the lishmat. There's the difference in between. Finally, just a note about the Haftorah. Rav Shachter would remind us that while normally we read the Haftorah of the last parsha, when the parshios are doubled, which means that reading the one for Kedoshim, which comes from Yechezkel, we don't do so when the parshios are doubled. When Achrimos and Kedoshin are doubled. Why is that? And so, the reason, says the Gemara, is that while we hold like the Tanaim who allow the section to be read, Rabbi Eliezer strongly recommended that we don't read the Haftorah that speaks about Toavos Yerushalayim, about the cursing of Yerushalayim. And since this section choice is theoretically up to the Maftir to choose, vis-a-vis its connection to the Pasha, we can take Rabbi Eliezer's opinion into account and not read the Haftorah. But Rav Saraya Devlitsky quotes Rav Soloveitchik, who noted that even on years like this one, where the parashios are split, and Parashas Kedoshim fell out on a Shabbos that wasn't Erev Rosh Chodesh or Rosh Chodesh itself, the minhag in Litta was to repeat the Haftorah for 2 weeks. Rabbi Elazar Meir Teitz didn't like that idea, and so that is not the minhag in Elizabeth, but certainly it is a minhag in other places. The Levush disagrees and notes that the entire issue is in reference to a different Haftorah entirely. Our practice is never to read that Haftorah. It talks about the insult to Avram and Sarah as an appropriate parenting. It's not about the Toavos Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Eliezer's position was expressed when someone got up to read the Haftorah, and Rabbi Eliezer jumped up and announced, before you speak about Toavos Yerushalayim, check out the Toavos of your mother. And they checked, and they discovered that the reader was a mamzer. Rav Soloveitchik added that there's another lesson to be learned here, that before we publicize the difficulties we have with Yerushalayim, or even the government of the State of Israel, we should think twice. We should work to change things, not just to report. We live in a world where we're like, I don't have to do anything. I shared it. I put it out there. That's not necessarily enough. We have a problem with governmental leadership. We have a responsibility to go ahead and do something about it, or to keep our mouth shut, and certainly not publicize Toavos Yerushalayim to the A.A. Hagoyim. We'll stop here, Be'ezus Hashem, and with a little bit of Atzlacha, we will be able to realize, and HaKadosh Baruch will make it abundantly apparent to everyone else, that He has separated us, Lios Lo, La'am Segula, La'ikayom Hazeh, Eshabat Shalom, to all.